Good morning. Today our scriptures will be coming from Luke 14, verses 1 through 6. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal one on the Sabbath or not?"
But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out?" And they had nothing to say.
Zephan and Elin, thank you for the reading of God's words. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you and we honor you for your presence. We thank you for your word, because your word changes our lives. Now, God, you are the potter. We are the clay. Mold us, shape us, make us, break us to what you need us to be. Holy Spirit, we give you full authority. Minister through our minds. Speak with our tongue. Love with our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children say, amen. Our focus text is verse 5 and 6. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out?" And they had nothing to say. For the time that's mine, I just want to preach this morning on radical empathy. According to Psychology Today, empathy is the ability to recognize, understand, and share thoughts and feelings of another person, animal, or fictional character. Developing empathy is crucial for establishing relationships and behaving compassionately. It involves experiencing another person's point of view rather than your own. Oftentimes, we use empathy and sympathy interchangeably. However, sympathy requires us to have a shared experience, but empathy requires us to have an imagination because we do not have that shared experience. You know, Grace City, most of us have been living different lives in this season than what we've been accustomed to, because for these past 9 weeks, we are used to imagining what our lives would be like over the next 3 and 5 years. Many of you all started in 2015 or 2017 thinking about what your life would be like in 2020. But now that we're in 2020, we're not thinking 2, 3, 5 years down the line. Many of us are simply trying to figure out, how do we get through this year? How do we get through where this pandemic, this moment and time that we are in right now? We're looking at news reports and making adjustments every day just to figure out where we're going to be on the other side of 2020. But here's a question for you. What if while we were making these daily adjustments that we were imagining something better for those who have come in different economic and family experiences? What if we spent time imagining what it would look like at this time instead of looking at what we are experiencing? I believe, Grace City, empathy for our neighbor will lead to the mercy and the compassion of Christ. Grace City, I believe if we're going to make radical change in this world, it is going to require people to have from different walks of life, from different experiences, from different starting points, from different point of views, radically imagining what it is that you are experiencing in your life. I honestly believe that this is the only way we can truly understand and embrace the true compassion and mercy of Jesus Christ. Christ, which is through radical empathy. I know that we spend time in prayer. I know that we spend time petitioning God for things that we need in this season. I know that you've prayed that you would want to get closer to God at this time. I know that we meditate and focus so that our lives is centered on God. But this is the question for us this morning. What would it look like if we spent more time looking at people that we considered less fortunate, less righteous, less privileged, imagining what they are going through? Could you imagine what it's like to live in their body? Could you imagine what it would be like to live through their traumatic experience? Could you imagine what it'd be like to have their parents and to live in their neighborhood? Could you imagine your family history starting at a slave field or at immigration? Could you imagine what it would be like if you had nowhere to live? Can you imagine what it would be like if you had no food to eat? Could you imagine what it would be like in somebody else's skin color? Could you imagine what it'd be like to live in somebody else's street? Grace City, if we're going to have a radical empathy, we have to have a radical imagination of what people are going through in order to get to the compassion and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Empathy is imagining the pain of your neighbor and moving to the compassion and mercy of Jesus. The good news about Jesus, Grace City, is he just didn't have empathy. He has sympathy. Jesus entered into a shared experience with you and me. And with his empathy, he entered into our suffering. But in his sympathy, he's entered into our sinning. I'm so glad that Jesus entered into our suffering through his empathy, because the Apostle Paul says, for the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. I'm so glad that his sympathy entered into our sinning, because the Bible says he who knew no sin took on sin so that we might be the righteousness of God. Christ's sympathy took our place on the cross, and he put our sins on him, and he allowed us to be dressed in his righteousness. He shared in our compassion, and through that compassion and empathy for us, we are able to live. The Hebrew writer puts it like this: for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet he did not sin. In our text this morning, we find Jesus delivering a message to his audience. I believe the narrative helps us to imagine another experience in order to move us to the empathy so that one can understand the love, the compassion, and mercy of Jesus Christ. We find Jesus a third time at the table of the Pharisee. It is the Sabbath, which is a time of rest, refocus, and renewal. It is the fourth commandment now when the Jewish people practiced this law. Upon arrival, this prominent Pharisee's house, Jesus noticed that he was being closely watched by these Pharisees. The word watch here and how they're watching him means they're looking at him with malicious intent. Also, while they're there, there's a man who had an infirmity called dropsy sitting at this same table. The man with a condition that's an abnormal swelling, which was a symptom of a problem with a heart, lung, kidney, or liver. The Pharisee would have viewed this condition as judgment by God for immorality or uncleanliness because of the body that couldn't relieve the fluids. The Pharisees only sat among people who were considered righteous or made them look righteous. They would not consider this man to be righteous enough to be at the table. And Jesus notices that they are watching him and they put this man at the table. The way they're watching Jesus and placing this sick man at the table, Jesus knew this was a trap. The Pharisees wanted to see if Jesus would heal a sick man on the Sabbath. And if he did, the Pharisee thought this would confirm Jesus is not God. They wanted to use Jesus performing a miracle as justification to reject Jesus. Jesus knows this, and guess what? Jesus is turning the table. Grace City, and those of you who are watching, Jesus calls us to turn the table in this world through radical empathy that leads to the compassion and love of Christ. He calls us to imagine ourselves in our neighbor's shoes. And when we do that, the empathy will turn the table on two things. Jesus turns the table on two things. Jesus' radical empathy turns the table on the enemy. Look at the text. Jesus asked the Pharisees and the experts of the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? This question gives complex implication. If the answer was that it was lawful to do this on the Sabbath, it would authorize him to heal the man. But authorizing him to heal the man would not be able to catch him for doing something that's forbidden on the Sabbath. Jesus focused on his enemy and he puts them in this difficult situation. Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. Jesus gives the enemy a major blow and then he goes and heals the man. Not only does he heal the man, but he lays his hands on the man. The Lord laying hands on this man didn't just show empathy and compassion to the sick man, but he sent him away, also letting the enemy know that he wasn't this man that you thought was incurable outcast, is now a walking, breathing miracle of the compassion and empathy of Jesus Christ. And the text says they are silent. They're silent because they wanted this healing on the Sabbath to rob Jesus of his godly identity. But the healing affirmed Jesus' identity. Joseph in Genesis put it best. What he meant for evil, God turned it around for his good. Grace City, radical empathy turns the table on the enemy. Radical empathy will turn the table on the enemy of racism. Radical empathy will turn tables on the enemy of classism. Radical empathy will turn tables on the enemy of ageism. Radical empathy will turn tables on sexism. Jesus turns the table on the enemy through radical empathy. So the first thing I see is that radical empathy turns the table on the enemy. But watch this. Radical empathy also turns the table on the inner me. On the inner me. Look at the text. Then he asks, if one of you has a child, or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately put it out? And they had nothing to say. At this time, although the Pharisees are silent, they must have thought they have succeeded. Jesus heals a man on the Sabbath, And in their mind, Jesus has clearly violated the Sabbath by healing a man who's unclean under a divine judgment in their mind. Jesus knows what they are thinking, so he begins to change them from the inside out through radical empathy. He asks this question: if one of you as a child or an ox that falls into the well on the Sabbath, would you not take them out? This question that Jesus asked is so simple and would have been understood with a yes, that at the end of the statement, the men would have looked at Jesus and says, yes, duh. That's how simple this question was. But Jesus made it that simple because he was teaching a profound lesson. If this the answer to the question that Jesus asked is, of course we would grab them, grab our child, or grab our animal out the well. But this is what Jesus is saying to them. Why would you allow a child of God, one created by God, to drown in his own fluid, yet be okay to give life or pour out an ox in water or your own child? It requires them to do research in the enemy. Great City, Jesus' radical empathy didn't turn the table on the enemy. He also turned the tables on the enemy. It required them to look within themselves and evaluate how they approach their neighbor. Jesus says, imagine if this was your, if this man was your father. Imagine if this man was your brother. Imagine if this man was your husband. And it changed, it started changing the enemy. Great City, radical empathy requires us to imagine ourselves living in others' shoes, which should lead us to the compassion and mercy and love of Jesus Christ. This is radical empathy. It changes our enemy, but it also changes the inner me. You know, my children when they were younger, they used to always walk around the house with my shoes on. I believe they walked around, put my shoes on, because they walked around imagining what would it be like to be in my shoes. Great City, I wonder, as believers, have you ever looked around and imagined, looked at the poor, looked at the despair, and wondered what would it be like to be in their shoes? When we can imagine radically, that moves us to God's radical empathy, we will then have the compassion and the love of Jesus. And that is when we will change a world. God is calling us to radical empathy. Amen.